USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is set to deliver his State of the Union address just after 9 o'clock Eastern Time on Tuesday. All indications are that President Trump will do what he can to reach across the aisle to work with Democrats on issues including infrastructure. New York Democratic Congressman Max Rose tells Fox News that everyone just needs to learn to work together.
It's clear that hyperpartisanship in this country right now in the halls of Congress is truly representative of a crisis in our nation.
A preliminary hearing began for former Michigan State University President Lou Anna Simon on charges that she lied to law enforcement in relation to the investigation of former sports doctor Larry Nassar. Prosecutor Scott Teeter addresses the court.
Why did the defendant lie? Because, as I've said, MSU's image and reputation and the defendant's legacy are inextricably linked.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance, just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
The founder of Proud Boys sues over being labeled a hate group. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more.
Gavin McGinnis, who also co-founded Vice Media, is suing the Southern Poverty Law Center for calling the organization a hate group. McGinnis started the Proud Boys as a group that calls its members anti-racist Western chauvinists. The SPLC argues the Proud Boys are often connected to bigoted, misogynistic, and Islamophobic conduct. McGinnis filing that suit in federal court in Alabama, accusing the law center of using its labeling to get him kicked off social media. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
A border town in Mexico near Texas is on high alert as 2,000 Central American migrants approach. The police are in riot gear as migrants from Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador all make it closer and closer to the U.S.-Mexico border. And the New England Patriots are celebrating their Super Bowl win with a parade in Boston today. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Recapping one of our top stories, President Trump is preparing his State of the Union address for Tuesday night. Many folks are wondering as to how much the president will discuss foreign policy, including troop withdrawal from Syria. Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul tells Fox News it's about time for this withdrawal.
First of all, we have hundreds of generals, and I'm sure generals at some level were consulted, but maybe not every general. The other thing is they were all told in advance, so was the American public. He said, we're going to go in and we're going to wipe out ISIS, then we're going to come home. This is what President Trump said from the very beginning. The question is, do we always have to do the fighting, and do we always have to pay for it? Can the people who live there do nothing? So I think it's time they stand up. Will we still be involved? Yes, we've got people everywhere. The president's talking about moving the troops about 50 miles to a billion-dollar air base in Iraq where they could attack ISIS within 5 minutes if they had to.
Senator Paul was next asked why a lot of the polls out there say Americans are not in favor of a troop withdrawal.
Actually, there's a lot of polls out there, and there are polls in the last week or two that show the vast majority of people are ready to come home from Afghanistan. We've been there 17 years. Mm-hmm. This is what I objected to in this resolution. It called it a precipitous leaving of Afghanistan. There's no way that leaving after 17 years is precipitous.
Please remember, you can find us on Facebook at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
From St. George News Radio, here's what's trending today on stgeorgenews.com. A large rock parked itself right on top of a road Sunday afternoon after rolling down a hillside outside of Bryce Canyon. After more than 2 months of public debate and discussion about Cedar High School's use of the term Redmen in its nickname and mascot, the Iron County School District Board of Education may decide this week whether to change it. Snow is anticipated to fall in parts of southern Utah on and off today. The Utah Department of Transportation also reports snowfall is expected to continue in the northern parts of the state through Thursday morning. For winter road conditions, visit the Utah Department of Transportation's website or call 511. Details on these and other breaking news stories from stgeorgenews.com. From the St. George News Radio Weather Center, rain today, 90% chance, 49 for the high. Mostly cloudy with rain tonight, 90% as well. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Snow is possible, 30% chance, and 41. For St. George News Radio, I'm Carl Lamar.
Freedom or free stuff? You only get to choose one. Call 888-673-1450. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
What if the Constitution no longer applied? What if the government could write any law, regulate any behavior, and tax any event? What if you could love your country, but hate what the government has done to it? What if Jefferson was right? What if that government is best which governs least? What if freedom's greatest hour of danger is now?
There. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. So glad that you're joining me today. Welcome to Chicago. Welcome Utah, Arizona, Nevada. Welcome to all of you coast to coast and Canada too. So excited that you're tuning in today because my guest hardly needs an introduction, I would imagine, unless you're living under a rock. Former Texas Congressman and former presidential candidate Dr. Ron Paul is with us today. Welcome to the program, Dr. Paul.
Thank you, Kate. It's nice to be with you.
Thank you. I really appreciate this. This is a lot of fun talking to you, and I know it's going to be so informative. I'm a huge fan because you're one of the few that got into Congress and stayed consistent to your principles, and so many congressmen lose their way right away, start voting for bigger government. What enabled you to be so different, and how did you not cave to the pressure of Washington after so many failed to do so?
Well, there's no easy answer for that. All I know is that if I had not done what I did do and just stick to what I had promised, I'd been a miserable person. So I didn't like to be miserable and look back and think, why did I do that? So I was very comfortable. I knew why I wanted to go there. I wanted to try to set a standard for what we should do. I expected, first, never to be elected, second, not to be reelected, and third, that nobody would ever pay any attention. And I still thought I should set, a record to show what you should do if you were following the Constitution. But it turned out that more people paid attention than I ever dreamed would.
Were you surprised when you got reelected with your nickname of Mr. No, as far as really standing up to principles and saying if it's not constitutionally based or founded, forget about it?
Well, at the beginning, before I had been there a while, but, after I got to be known and I got the reception, and I was always surprised that they didn't make a stronger effort. Mm-hmm. There were efforts in the early years to get me out of Congress. But, as I got to meet and know the people in the district more, and a lot of people would say, there's some things I just don't agree with you on that,
Sure.
But they say, we know where you stand. So I think that's what overruled some of the positions because, if we're realistic, even among libertarians, there's some disagreement. So you can't say that one person has the final and total answer. So that's a big difference in trusting the people.
Oh, yeah. Was there a lot of pressure early on to kind of go to the dark side? I mean, there's so many lobbyists. There's so much there that these congressmen just, they go into office, they sound so great, and then they seem to lose their way so quickly. Is it that strong of a pull? Is it that much?
No. Well, I guess it is for some people, and they become pragmatic. They
sure.
say they go, and it happens even before you're sworn in. What will you do here, and what will you do for us? And then later on, it will be the votes. If you want promoted in your committee, if you ever want to be a subcommittee chairman, you have to raise money and pay your dues, and it goes on and on. And that was the least of my interest. I had no interest at all whatsoever. I had enough time where if I was working just on seniority and playing ball, I could have been chairman of the banking committee. And people say, yeah, look at what you could have done. But by that time, you can't do anything other than what you're told to do.
That's
you know,
true.
In order to get the support, you're not your your own person.
Mm-hmm.
The pressure that I noticed came from people who considered themselves close allies, never the opposition, never the other party, never the real strong liberals. It would be people who were conservative, and they would argue, well, I want to protect you. You're going too far. You're going to lose the election, and we need you here.
Right.
There was a little bit of that, but I think most of it was, if I got a reputation for following, you know, the Constitution and being conservative, it might make them look bad. So I think whether that was conscious or subconscious, I think on their part, they didn't like me waving a flag. So they would beg and plead for me not to vote by myself. No, this is foolish. Why are you doing this? You
know? Wow.
So, and yet, instead of that being the political negative that everybody predicted, it actually turned out to be a political positive.
Right.
Because people said, you know, he's sticking to it, and when he explains it, I understand what he's talking about.
Oh, that's fantastic. Great insight, too. Is it, you know, when you looked around and you were observing Congress, they tend to not defund the programs that usurp the Constitution. Was it ignorance or weakness?
I think it's a bunch of different reasons. I think most of it is ignorance. Ignorance in the sense that they don't start from a basic principle, say a libertarian principle that we understand, where we don't ever want to, you know, use force to have our own way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more to it than just that political principle. It's also what's ingrained into our systems, into our minds from the public school system.
True.
This is why I'm such a strong supporter of homeschooling and alternative schools and private schooling. They beat it into us, and I've often said that, you know, after I got out of college, I was fascinated with ideas, but I said it took me a long time to unlearn the things that were beat into my head, you know, whether it was the schooling or whether it was the news media or the movies or the TV or all these things, and you feel lonely. And when I discovered Austrian economics, of course, I said, well, these guys sound pretty smart, and they agree with me. Of course, I was agreeing with them, but I think some of our beliefs are very natural and common sense. So I think it's a lot of ignorance and a lot of political. It's not so much that they have their hands under the table and they enrich themselves, which many do, but it was mainly to be a player. You know, I remember watching some of the late votes where the Republicans were losing a vote and they had to send the whole team down there to try to convert, a few people. And their strategy was just get their friends to come, and they might lobby, do this, please do this for us. But finally, the speaker himself would come and say, do you want to be a team player or not? It was a team player. You got to be part of the group. Your instincts may be something, but that sometimes was the clinching argument that the people in the system wanted. You got to be a team player. You can't. And they see that if you don't compromise, that you're not part of the system and you don't want to help and you can't get anywhere and it's not good for the country. Of course, the opposite is selling out and selling your soul and doing things that you don't even believe in and we shouldn't be doing.
Yes, absolutely. I appreciate you being so candid. It's hard to get people to open up on this subject, and I really appreciate that. I know that many want your thoughts on Trump. Insider, shill, outsider, what is your take on Trump?
Well, you know, I just did a program on my Liberty Report, you know, .com. We do a daily program on that, and Daniel McAdams, who does that with me, we talked a whole lot about Trump's speech, you know, that he recently gave, you know, on foreign policy.
Sure.
And you know, our conclusion, and my conclusion really is that you have no idea where he is, because I quoted one statement that was in the regular media that said that he seems like he could be a combination of Ron Paul and Genghis Khan. You know, one moment he might say, well, no nation building, and
right.
The next time he wants to bomb and kill and and steal and charge people for, you know, being a mercenary and taking oil as a payment for our war and our efforts. So he's too extreme. So he's less predictable, I think, than Hillary. Everybody knows exactly where she's going.
True.
And what she's likely to do. We know what her foreign policy is, even though it's done in secret. A lot of times, it's not a surprise that she's always involved in some of this intrigue and supporting these other countries. And but Trump is too unpredictable for me, and he's too authoritarian for me. And I don't he even comes close to being a non-interventionist.
Appreciate that. I really do. Liberty Report, by the way, you've started this and it's huge and people really need to visit and give that a lot of attention. Down here in these parts, we discuss a lot the Bundys, Lavoie Finicum's murder on the federal land grabs, what went down in Oregon. Did you have any comments on that? We've talked about it extensively on the show and I wanted to get kind of your take on what they were trying to stand up for and inform people on the Constitution.
Yeah, I consider it real messy. Because it wasn't like you and I owning a farm and the feds coming in and telling us what to do. They were dealing with, you know, federal land and people that were supposed to have had a legal right to use this federal land. To me, the bottom line was, this is the reason the federal government shouldn't own the land. And one of my principles that I've listed in a free society is the people own the land, not the government. So when the government owns it, nobody owns it, and the politicians control it, and it became very messy. And so I thought it was a strong position for us to take and say that this is the reason the federal government shouldn't be involved in land management, and even the states shouldn't be. Texas, for instance, the place where I live, came into the union in very, very little government-owned land, no state-owned land, and we still have very little federal-owned land. But if you take some of the states out west, all of a sudden maybe 70, 80, 90% of the land is owned by the federal government. That was never, you know, intended. I don't think the founders would have ever dreamed that that could happen. So I think that's what that whole argument about. But if there is federal involvement, say, you know, the oil rights in the Gulf and what's happening in the west, I mean, you have to, you can't switch it overnight and turn it into private ownership, but you should have only people there that will administer it through contracts and be fair to people and not to use the bureaucracy and or subsidies. Sometimes there's people on federal land that get subsidized by the government. It just, to me, makes a strong point that the government shouldn't own the land and they shouldn't own it through regulations. I think even though they might not have title, even the person that has this private ranch or whatever, just think of how many regulations that the federal government has, efficient wildlife people and all the agencies of government. So we really don't own the land. What we end up doing is paying rent for it.
Yes.
And they tell us what to do. If there are losses, we lose it. If they want the land, they take it. So I really am a strong believer, obviously, in private property ownership.
Oh, absolutely. It's what separates us from third world countries. It is what enables us to enjoy a lot of things, capitalism, the free market. What do you think America's biggest issue is? What do you think our biggest problem right now is?
Well, it's the lack of understanding and love for individual liberty, because I believe I am so positive about what a society would be like if we adhered to the principle of nonviolence and no aggression. Just imagine, even if you had a token amount of it, how much better the world would be.
Lionsgate Recovery Center is a proud sponsor of The Kate Daly Show. Lionsgate Recovery believes in a recovery approach that is holistic and comprehensive. The primary goal is for Lionsgate's clients to be integrated back into their life free of the bondage of addiction.
Hi, it's Marty Lane, and guess what? I have acid reflux. Yes, for the past 15 years, I have suffered with acid reflux. However, it has developed into what's called Barrett's esophagus, so I have to have it checked every 3 years. But I also have a history of colon cancer in my family. So, yes, I needed to get a colonoscopy as well. I go to Dr. James Bown and recommend Utah Gastroenterology. I got to tell you, the guy's great. The whole staff is fantastic. It's a higher level of healthcare. Digestive problems can be embarrassing, painful, and in some cases, even life-threatening. That is why it is always best to seek the help of an experienced digestive specialist, a board-certified gastroenterologist, whether you have acid reflux, abdominal pain, or you're just ready to have your first colonoscopy. Utah Gastroenterology will help you safeguard your most priceless possession, your health. Go to Utah Gastroenterology. Look them up at utahgastro.com.
Hi, I'm Dave Mizrahi, owner of Best Mattress. You're going to love our President's Day sale going on right now with all our best brands. Serta, Beautyrest, and iComfort. Save up to $600 on select iComfort and Beautyrest adjustable sets. Or get a Serta Perfect Sleeper Super Pillow Top Queen mattress for just $499. Our no-pressure sleep consultants will help you find the mattress that's right for you. Plus, free delivery, setup, and disposal of your old mattress. Best Mattress, home of the 120-day sleep easy guarantee.
Steamroller Copiers, we're the one to help you till your work is done. The full service business center makes your day run so much better.
Steamroller Copiers has convenient drop-off and shipping services for FedEx, UPS, and DHL carriers.
We have boxes, bubble wrap, packing peanuts, and tape to help you get your package there safely.
Authorized ship centers are located at 67 East St. George Boulevard and 690 West State Street in Hurricane.
Steamroller Copiers, always asking,
what do you want to ship today?
Steamroller Copiers!
Steamroller Copiers is excited to advertise your business.
Increase your sales and recognition with a full-color vehicle wrap.
We can help with all your transit needs, full wraps or decals, DOT numbers, magnets, you name it, we can print it.
Turn your vehicle into your own personal mobile billboard. Take advantage of mobile advertising today by contacting a graphic designer at any Steamroller Copiers location.
St. George Boulevard, South River Road, or State Street in Hurricane.
Steamroller Copiers, always asking,
what do you want to print today?
If there's one thing we'd all like to learn, it's how to make our retirement more predictable. Find out how by joining Abe Ashton for your family and your retirement Tuesday afternoons at 5 here on St. George News Radio 93.1 and 1450 KZNU.
This is Kate Daly, and my show is brought to you by the Piano Gallery, located on the Bloomington exit, right by Bloomington Walmart. You can get a gorgeous piano for a great deal. Talk to John or Jamie. A piano makes a beautiful house a home. Home Flooring Connection. Need a new floor? Call the expert. Home Flooring Connection. HomeFlooringConnection.com. Best Mattress, the best place to buy Tempur-Pedic. Save up to $1,500 on Serta, Beautyrest, and Sherwood. Free delivery and setup with the Best Mattress 120-day satisfaction guarantee. Why shop anywhere else?
There are a lot of places that claim to offer affordable funeral services, but there's only one place in Cedar City that truly delivers. Affordable Funeral Services. With cremation starting at $795 and a traditional funeral starting at $4,395, no one can beat the price.
Hi, this is Brian at Affordable Funeral Services in Cedar City. Call me today and see that there is a difference. 435-586-3456. Or find us online at affordablefuneralservices.com and look for the candle.
AWI Networks is Southern Utah's most reliable internet provider. Plus, we have another great feature for members of the AWI Networks family. It's our generous referral program. For every person you refer that signs up with AWI Networks, you get a $50 credit on your account. You enjoy super fast and reliable internet, tell your friends and family, and get rewarded handsomely. It starts at AWINetworks.com.
AWI. Hey folks, welcome to February and another Southern Utah Home Builders Parade of Homes. This is Brandon Hansen over the Cherry Creek Mortgage Team. We hope you get a chance to enjoy the Parade of Homes this year. But give us a buzz if we can brainstorm about all your financing options, the new loan programs, low down payments, the flexibility we haven't had in years. And as always, Cherry Creek has a low closing fee of $1,295, no matter the size or type of loan. So give us a buzz. It's 525-2222 or find us at BrandonHansonMortgage.com.
You're agitated, confused, or shaking your head. Our work here is done. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
The whole point of this country is if you want to eat garbage, balloon up to 600 pounds, and die of a heart attack at 43, you can. You are free to do so. To me, that's beautiful.
Hi there. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. The time is 2:06. Today, very, very special guest. Welcome to the show, Freeman Dyson.
Hello. Here I am.
Hello. I'm so glad that you are here with us today, Freeman. Thank you. Freeman Dyson is one of the most famous names in science and sometimes one of the most controversial, depending on who you're speaking to. And he was one of the British scientists who helped win World War II, spent most years since as a professor of physics at the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton, New Jersey, and has written the important oft-quoted books, including Disturbing the Universe and The Scientist as Rebel. You have said that you don't have faith in the predictions. Science is organized unpredictability. What do you mean by
that? That's right, yes. Yeah.
I like that. What do you mean?
Well, the whole point is that when science is finished, it's dull. And everything we know for sure is sort of boring. It's the things we don't know that are exciting. So that the real science is done fighting around with all kinds of arguments and disagreements about things we don't yet understand. So it's a team sport, much more than a set of beliefs.
And if something is predictable, you say it really isn't. It's not science. It's a prediction. They're different. They're separate. Call yourself a heretic, which I love, in the science field. What does that mean to you?
Well, it means that I'm happy always to disagree and still remain friends.
sure.
That I very often take strong positions in opposition to the majority without suffering any bad consequences. That's just the game I like to play.
Mm-hmm. I like that, though. I think we're heretics, too. I think that's good. A good thing to be, and always questioning.
Oh, yes. You don't have to be a scientist to be a heretic, certainly.
Yes, absolutely. I like that. You said one of the heretic notions that you say that people like to debate is the United States has less than a century left as its term as top nation. Do you want to talk about that? I thought that was fascinating.
Yes, I remember when I was a child and my father was talking about British history. I grew up in England, and he was saying there'd always been, for the last 500 years, there'd been always a top nation. There was, first of all, Spain, and then there was France, and then there was Britain, and now it's America, and that's the way it is. Well, of course, each country has a turn which lasts 100 or 200 years, and then another country takes over. Well, we're waiting to see, of course, whether China is actually going to be the next. But obviously, China is a strong candidate.
Maybe Brazil. I guess there are some strong candidates that would be next, but I think China would probably be the first choice, you think?
At the moment, clearly, China is doing more. It's a much more dynamic society than Brazil. So we'll see. I mean, we are still, America is still, in some respects, on top, but not as firmly as it was 50 years ago.
That's very true. Do you see things happening even quicker than that time period for us, especially when it comes to money, when it comes to the economy, when it comes to a lot of things? We have a lot of threats right now, be it nuclear, they say, or economy-wise. Do you think it might come sooner?
Well, there's always bad things happen. That's history. And the amazing thing is our species, the human species, is amazingly adaptable. That's how we got ahead, because we were able to change faster than other species. So that's to our advantage, and it's still true.
Okay. You know, Stephen Hawking had a comment that human beings have just about 1,000 years left on Earth. How did you respond to that?
Oh, that's all rubbish, of course, but then All predictions of that kind are rubbish. We simply have no idea. I mean, the normal course of events is for a species either to become extinct or to split into many species. They don't stay the same for a long time. So in the case of ours, I would think quite likely in 1,000 years we will be 10 species or 100. We've no means of knowing. We might be zero, but I think it's sort of less, in a way, it's less likely there will be just one species
Right. And here we go with predictions again, because Stephen Hawking was clearly making a prediction. You know, you've been in the news a lot lately. I'm sure everybody and their dog wants an interview with you about the climate change, what's happening with climate change. And you were all over Fox News last week. Tell us a little bit about how you've come to the conclusions you have and what your thoughts are on the because Secretary of State Kerry just blamed serious problems on climate change. And it seems like this is getting a lot of attention as the crisis of our time. What are your thoughts on climate change?
Well, I think it is totally out of proportion. There are so many other problems which are more urgent and more difficult, like nuclear weapons or public health or education or the half a million people dying of malaria every year in Africa. Mm-hmm. Those are much bigger problems which we ought to be dealing with. All this fuss about the climate change is absurd because, first of all, climate has always changed. It's quite a normal thing for climate to be changing. And anyway, there's not much we can do about it. We don't understand it. Most of the official beliefs about it are completely unsupported by real science.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think is the real issue at hand? Because it seems as though, I think they sort of bank on the fact that a lot of us are not scientists, and so we don't dare question this particular science, right?
Well, I don't pretend to understand people's motives. There are all sorts of special interests, of course, involved, and sort of the green movement is, on the one hand, it's a wonderful desire to save the environment and to protect the habitats of all kinds of plants and animals. All that kind of environmentalism is good. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, the sort of the green movement and the organized green movement has become obsessed with this climate change, which is not really, even for them, shouldn't be the main problem.
Mm. And you talk about land management as maybe something that they should be working out and analyzing rather than trying to force maybe even regulation or legislation on these things before we understand land management. What would you tell people about land management? What do you think are some of the things we could be working on with this?
Well, we are already, of course, doing a great deal with land management. Mm-hmm. Growing forests is land management, and grazing, raising beef on grass rather than in feedlots is land management. That helps a lot if you want to protect the environment. There are lots of things you can do, but they're mostly local. Every piece of land has its own problems.
Mm-hmm. And then topsoil. You've brought up topsoil in some of your lectures.
Yes, topsoil is, of course, what you save by raising cows on grass rather than on feedlots. Mm-hmm. And topsoil is good from many points of view. It absorbs a great deal of bad stuff from the air, and it creates a healthier environment almost always.
Right. And was it hard for you, Freeman, to come out about this after you supported Obama in the first election? And was it difficult to come out and say this? Because, the headline read, Freeman Dyson, scientists oust, Obama on it being a crisis. Was it difficult to do?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm always happy to criticize my friends, just as I'm happy when they criticize me. So, and one thing that I must say for Obama is he takes the nuclear terrorism seriously, and he has done a lot, in fact, in a quiet way, to mitigate that.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about nuclear, because I know that this is something that you have been heavily delving into for a very long time. In fact, you were part of the first safe nuclear reactor, right, in developing that? Am I right on
yes.
that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a safe?
No, I mean, I like to tell the story of when I saw the second airplane on television crash into the World Trade Center on 9/11, 14 years ago. I immediately, when I saw the airplane crash into the building, I thought, thank God that wasn't a nuke. And that was, of course, because I've been thinking about this for a long time before. If that had been a nuclear weapon, it would have probably been about 100 times as bad. Mm. We would have seen 300,000 people killed rather than 3,000, and correspondingly greater material damage as well. Mm-hmm. It would have been a major catastrophe for the whole country, mm-hmm. even much more than 9/11. So that's the order of magnitude that one has to worry about, that one nuclear weapon in a place like the World Trade Center would devastate the whole city of New York. It would just make a permanent change in the United States. And it's a problem we absolutely have to take seriously.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Dave was going to ask you about the Heldron.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. We had a guest on here a couple of weeks ago that talked about the Hadron Collider and the dangers that possibly could occur there. Have you looked into that?
Oh, that's rubbish. I mean, you know, the machine, it's a beautiful machine, and it's certainly not going to blow up or do anything disagreeable.
Okay. All right. And so have you been, I'm sure you've been working on this for a while.
You and Hawking are at odds on that, then.
I think Hawking feels probably pretty differently on that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he says it could be dangerous.
Right. What were some of your thoughts on bioengineering?
Well, I think it will be an art form for the next 100 years. I mean, that when we understand genetics to the point where we can design orchids and roses to our own taste, and also perhaps turtles and snakes, mm-hmm. I mean, this could be a new form of art to create new kinds of living creatures, which I'm sure when it becomes freely available, as it probably will, will keep an enormous number of people happy and will produce the same kind of variety of successes and failures as you have in other kinds of art. Mm-hmm. So that's something we should certainly think about. It has its good side and its bad side, of course, like everything else. And certainly the dark side could be quite dark, mm-hmm. and the bright side could be very bright.
Does it scare you what we would do with this technology?
Well, you have to be scared, but at the same time understand that it could be a great joy and that it's likely that it will.
What in science has surprised you? Has anything caught you off guard in its unpredictability and in its advances? What has surprised you?
Oh, everything, of course, that's happened. First of all, the double helix, the discovery that DNA was actually the genetic material that determines our heredity. I mean, that was an amazing discovery. That was 1953, Crick and Watson. And so I think that was perhaps the biggest surprise.
Hey, it's Travel Tuesday time with Celise from the Travel Connection. Welcome.
Good morning, Carl.
This is the romance month of February, and with that, we have Valentine's Day. How about taking your sweetie to Tahiti?
We love that promotion with Paul Gauguin Cruises. It's one of the best gifts you can give your sweetheart. And we have some special offers this month for February with some group discounts going on the cruise I'm hosting in August, and also some shipboard credit, and it's just a wonderful time to think about going to the islands.
If you've never been to Tahiti, tell me, how beautiful is it?
Oh, so this will be my fifth year taking groups to Tahiti, and people ask me all the time if I get tired of it, and the answer is no. It is just more beautiful than the pictures are even say.
I'll bet that people wonder if you're even going to come back.
That's right. I'm about ready to take up residency there. But did you know, Carl, that there are more people that visit the islands of Hawaii in 1 week than visit Tahiti in 1 year?
Wow.
So it's really just, you know, you don't have the big skyscrapers, and it's just really authentic Polynesia. And I invite anyone that's considering the vacation to come and see us at the Travel Connection.
Okay, so go now before you see everybody there.
That's right.
So it's still pristine then.
It is very pristine, very unspoiled, and the spirit of Polynesia is just beautiful.
Okay, sounds like fun to me, and this would be a great trip to surprise your sweetheart with.
That's right.
Okay, how do they get a hold of you?
Call us at 628-3636 or visit our website, stgeorgetravel.com.
Always a pleasure to have you here with us, Elise.
Thanks,
thank you so
Carl.
Much. Join us again soon for another Travel Tuesday with Elise from The Travel Connection.
Attention homeowners, has your heating and AC system struggled and you've wondered when is the best time to upgrade that old system? Now is a great time during the milder season where you probably aren't using your system as much, and the guys at Air Care Professional have more time available. Plus great specials up to $1,000 off a new system and 0% equipment financing options for 60 months OAC. Air Care Professionals and Bryant are doing whatever it takes to earn your business. Call Air Care Professionals today, 628-2423, or online at aircareprofessionals.com.
Save up to $600 during the Dream Big, Save Big President's Day sales event. Hi, it's Justin from the Mattress Store. Save big, up to $600 on the latest from Tempur-Pedic, Sealy, and Stearns & Foster with up to 72 months, no interest financing. The Dream Big, Save Big President's Day sale is going on now. Come in today, sleep well tonight, Bluff by Ace Hardware, Washington next to Best Buy, Bloomington by the Walmart, and downtown Cedar City next to Lynn's. Nobody beats the Mattress Store. Nobody.
The Wentworth at the Meadows has been a part of St. George for 35 years. Our family of staff and residents keeps growing, and we need a few new branches on the family tree. With me today is Shanna, one of our extraordinary certified nursing assistants. Shanna, what do you love about working at the Meadows?
It's a lot of fun. We sing, we dance, we do activities. They have a lot of fun.
If you're interested in joining our family tree, call the Meadows today at 628-0090.
Thanks for listening to The Kate Daly Show. All opinions expressed by the program participants on The Kate Daly Show are solely their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of St. George News Radio, KZNU, Canyon Media, or their respective parent companies or advertisers. If you'd like to comment directly, talk lines are open at 888-673-1450. That's 888-673-1450. Or you may email directly at kate@canyonmedia.net.
Hey, what you doing there?
Painting a sign to go outside my business. See? It says, Dan does taxes. What do you think?
I think Dan does taxes, not signs.
That's harsh.
Well, that's hideous.
If your sign isn't professional, no one will ever believe you are. Invest in a quality sign and attract positive attention.
Help your business get noticed. Rainbow Sign and Banner for banners, signs, vehicle wraps, and service done fast, done right. Rainbow Sign and Banner.
Switch to high-speed internet from TDS. We guarantee you'll love it, or we'll give you your money back. Ultra-fast speeds, affordable prices, and service you can count on. It's all backed by the TDS 30-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it worry-free. Start your 30-day trial today at HelloTDS.com. Internet speeds are up to and not available in all areas. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But there have been many others. Of course, recently the Kepler mission, which is a quite modest space mission, which has discovered about 2,000 planets orbiting around other stars. Mm-hmm. That's been a huge success. And, there's dark matter, which is a total mystery. The universe is filled with stuff which we know is there because we see its gravitational effects, but we've no idea what it is. So that's sort of mystery number one as far as astronomy is concerned. Mm-hmm. So you can go on and on. There's all kinds of mysteries which we don't understand.
Was there a dream that you wish would have been fulfilled, maybe going up into space or something like that, being part of it?
Oh, of course, I wanted to fly with Orion. That was, we had actually... People, Ted Taylor was the leader of that project, and he and I certainly planned to go on the first trip.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was disappointing when that never got the green light.
Right, I'm sure. I can't even imagine. Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
The Van Allen Belt. I've heard it from both. I heard it from both sides now.
What are your
and
thoughts?
NASA just recently said that you know we can't go to Mars because of the Van Allen Belt, and so mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Is that what's the effects of that?
No, that's certainly not true. But of course, you have to go quickly through the Van Allen Belt. You have to be in some kind of a shelter, but certainly that's not impossible by any means. It involves just calculating carefully how much radiation you're prepared to take and engineering your ship to keep below that level. But it's certainly not all that difficult.
Okay.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah. You know, I remember a speech not too long ago by President Obama where he was telling the Coast Guard in San Diego that you had to believe that climate change was now the biggest threat ever to our nation, and that if you didn't, it was looked at as treason. Did you hear about that speech? I'm sure you read about that. What were your thoughts when he was saying that, and where are they going with that, do you think?
Well, I didn't hear the speech, but it certainly is nonsense. But it's of course unfortunate that there are many people who talk nonsense, and for a politician, it's very hard to tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so obviously, Obama had been listening to somebody telling him things that were not true.
That's true.
And that's not so surprising.
He was talking about rising sea levels. Do you feel that that is a concern to us as a nation?
Well, of course rising sea level is a concern. Mm-hmm. What is remarkable is that it's been rising now for about 14,000 years, ever since the end of the Ice Age. It already rose about 300 feet. But the rising has slowed down enormously. And in the last 100 years, it's actually been very slow.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no evidence that it's growing faster as a result of human activities. So it's certainly is something to worry about, but it's not at all clear that it's due to human activities. And it's also not clear that we know what to do about it. I would say if it really gets bad, you have to imagine increasing snowfall in Antarctica. That would be probably the most practical measure you could take. If you could somehow deflect the wind, the strong winds, westerly winds going around Antarctica, carrying a lot of moisture, and if you could just deflect those winds a little bit by putting up kites or something so that they blow over Antarctica, the moisture will come down as snow, and it will stay there on top of Antarctica as snow, and the oceans will actually go down. So in principle, you could cure it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying we should be doing that right now.
Right.
But we could, if it became necessary, we could.
I had a scientist on that said that we are actually in a 400-year cycle. And when they look at global warming, which was what they were calling it, they were only looking at about 200 years. And they weren't looking at the whole cycle, and we're actually cooling. What are your thoughts?
Yes, that is true. I mean, we had certainly a period of fairly rapid warming in the 70s and 80s, and then after that it sort of slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
So we could be going into a cooling phase. We just don't know.
Okay. You know, one final question, because I told you I would keep this short, so I have to make good of my promise to you. Even though I'm loving this, because I feel like I'm getting answers from somebody that knows and somebody that's been there, and you've done so much in science and research, and if you read your bio, I think it took me a half an hour just to read your bio. It was amazing. What's coming next? Do you have any ideas about things that are on the horizon or what to look at as far as what's coming down the pike next?
Well, if it were something I could predict, it wouldn't be interesting, of course.
True.
So the whole point, the important things will be surprises.
Right.
But I would say that sort of the next big development in science is very likely in neurology, understanding the human brain. This is the human brain, of course, is a huge mystery, how it functions, how it works, and what we might do to deal with mental illnesses. And it's enormously promising for the future because the tools are just becoming available to study the brain in the in real detail. Mm-hmm. So I would expect probably in the next 50 years at the longest, we will make major steps forward in understanding the brain. But what they will be, of course, I have no idea.
Are they digital or analog brains?
Well, that's a big question. I strongly suspect that they are analog. For the people who don't know the words, there are two kinds of computers you can build. There are the analog computers, which are like slide rules. Or in the old times, you calculated arithmetic with slide rules, which means the numbers are just distances along a ruler. So it's the distance is analog of numbers, whereas digital computers are ones which do arithmetic, but by counting and adding and multiplying units on something like an abacus or an electronic machine. So that at the moment all our computers are digital, and we worry why the brain doesn't seem to work the same way. And I would say probably it's because the brain is actually analog. What the brain works probably with mostly is patterns of images in light, images that are seen by the eye, and also patterns of sound which are heard by the ear. The brain has a wonderful gift for recognizing patterns at a glance. We have in our memories a huge database of these patterns, and I don't think we actually are recognizing them by calculating arithmetic. We're recognizing them by some kind of pictorial system which we don't understand. But clearly, I would call it an analog system.
So interesting! This is fascinating.
I like that.
I know. This is
fascinating. I agree with that. I can see that.
One last question for you, Freeman. No. Does the world need more humanists or more naturists?
Well, we need both, of course. I mean, the humanists are people who believe that humans are a part of nature and we ought to be organizing nature for our own benefit. And naturalists are people who think that nature knows best and we shouldn't interfere with nature. So, I mean, both sides are right, as often happens. That I mean, there are some problems for which sort of humanistic view makes sense, and there are other situations where the naturalistic view makes sense. It's not true that one is always right and the other wrong, and you just have to decide in any particular situation what makes more sense, which to have several points of view is usually better than just to have one.
I agree with that. And I agree with some of your stances too on coal and maybe we can still have coal without eradicating it. And I just think when we want to eradicate something altogether, it dispels trouble for us too. Can't we have a little of everything, and can we just do it in moderation, and can we just be smart about it?
Well, the big fact, which is sort of the elephant in the room, is that China and India have to burn coal in order to become rich. And this is exactly what they are doing. In the next 50 years, both China and India can become rich, but only by burning large amounts of coal and other fossil fuels. And so they have to make that decision. And I think it's very stupid for us to tell them how to behave.
And in the U.S., I mean, can we certainly burn coal? I hate to eradicate the coal industries here in America.
Can we become rich also if we give up coal?
Maybe. Well, we are rich already, and we could give up coal. I mean, for us, the choice is not so clear. We have the freedom to choose. The Chinese and the Indians don't. For them, if they give up coal, they really stay poor.
Yeah. I so appreciate you spending time with us today, because I know, you know, you have such a legacy in your career, and I'm so glad you share that. And I'm so glad you're still, you still are going into the office, aren't you, at Princeton?
Oh, very much so, yes.
That's wonderful. I love that. Wow. And thank you for all your contributions. And, you know, when people start to read about you, I think they're going to be amazed at all of the things that you've done and accomplished. And I really admire your career.
Thank you.
And thank you for your insights.
Yeah, terrific. Thank you. Terrific. I really have the best of days, Freeman, and I'm so glad that you came on.
Thank you very much.
Very much a pleasure to meet you. A story. I love this story. This story comes from Gordon B. Hinckley. And this story goes back clear to 1981. And he tells the funniest story, but there is such a great point. And I thought of this last night when I was going the rounds with everybody about the presidential campaign, because we just don't seem to be getting it. Okay. And so here is Gordon B. Hinckley. You're going to want to listen to this. So pull over, or, you know, if you've got noise to contend with, go into a quiet place. Listen to this. I thought this was hilarious. Here we go.
I use it only to set the stage for what I wish to say. It appears that an English company owned a property in the West Indies. A violent storm damaged one of the buildings, and a man was sent to make repairs. Of his experience, he wrote the manager as follows. Respected sir, when I got to the building, I found that the hurricane had knocked some bricks off the top. So I rigged up a beam with a pulley at the top of the building and hoisted up a couple of barrels of bricks. When I had fixed the building, there were a lot of bricks left over. I hoisted the barrel back up again and secured the line at the bottom, and then went up and filled the barrel with extra bricks. Then I went to the bottom and cast off the line. Unfortunately, the barrel of bricks was heavier than I was. And before I knew what was happening, the barrel started down, jerking me off the ground. I decided to hang on. And halfway up, I met the barrel coming down and received a severe blow on the shoulder. I then continued to the top, banging my head against the beam and getting my finger jammed in the pulley. When the barrel hit the ground, it burst at its bottom, allowing all the bricks to spill out. Now, I was not heavier than the barrel, and so started down again at high speed. Halfway down, I met the barrel coming up and received severe injuries to my shins. When I hit the ground, I landed on the bricks, getting several painful cuts from the sharp edges. At this point, I must have lost my presence of mind. I let go of the line. The barrel then came down, giving me another heavy blow on the head and putting me in the hospital. I respectfully request sick leave. After hearing that, you wonder how anyone could be so thoughtless and short-sighted. And yet every day we see people whose lives become entangled and who are bumped and bruised because they failed.
You know, I could go on and on with this, but I loved the story because I felt like this was us in two ways, okay? One was preparedness. One was not being adequately prepared and living our lives as though we're all going to live 100 more years and not taking care of business. The other, what really came to mind after listening to this, was the fact that how many of us have lived our lives... I still love that story. Gets me every time. All right, on to the next hour. Recorded interviews, best of Kate Daly Show. So glad you're joining me today.
This is Valerie Hansen. I'm here to talk to you about Novatio Orthopedics and Dr. Michael Manning.
About 6 weeks ago, we both had a procedure done. This procedure has completely changed our lives. We are so happy. Dr. Manning has been able to help us with everything. We are having so much fun. We're able to do things that we, neither one, have been able to do for years. My husband's gone hunting. I've been on a vacation. Even walking through Costco without pain is incredible to us. Our family and our friends have noticed how much this has changed our lives, and we're excited to become more healthy and active. There's nothing more exciting than knowing that after 60, life hasn't stopped. If you're looking for a pain-free way of life, you need to call Dr. Michael Manning at Novatio Orthopedics.
Call Novatio 435-688-1152 or visit Novatio Ortho.
93.1 FM, 1450 AM, KZNU St. George, 93.1 FM, Cedar City, KAZZ Parowan, KCLS HD4 Leeds.